You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Let me tell you from personal experience, it is an awful feeling not knowing your place in this world, not knowing what your purpose is. And that's why we're here. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us via the radio airwaves today, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. Robbie spelled R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. I just finished reading a book called 30 Lessons for Living, Tried and True Advice from the Wisest Americans. Author of the book was a guy named Dr. Carl Pillemer, and this book was the culmination of a five-year research project in which Dr. Pillemer and his staffers interviewed roughly 1,000 older folks aged 65 years of age and up. And I should say wiser folks as well, as Dr. Pillemer also referred to them. And his purpose in interviewing these folks was to glean some valuable life lessons from people who have already lived their lives. I mean, you know as well as I do, we all learn from experience, right? So why not tap into the experience of the people who've had the most experience and find out what kind of things work in this life and what kind of things don't? Now, the book was not written from a Christian perspective, and so there were some things in the book that I personally did not agree with, which is fine, because they weren't necessarily rooted in Scripture. However, the generation of people that was interviewed for the book grew up pretty much in an American society that was raised to revere the Bible. Pillemer asked these folks about things like marriage, about parenting, about work, about aging, about happiness, lots of other things. I mean, the title itself indicates, you know, the 30 life lessons. There's quite a few things he talked about with these folks. Now, if you were to take a guess as to which lesson was the most important lesson that these senior citizens would relate to people younger than themselves, what do you think? What do you think would be the number one lesson that they related to folks in the younger generations? Would it be about marriage? What do you think? Would it be about marriage? Would it be about parenting? Maybe about faith? Interestingly, of all the lessons the elders conveyed, one stood out above all the rest, and here it is. Don't spend years in a job that you hate. As Pillemer reports, and this is a direct quote from his book here, you know those nightmares where you're shouting a warning but no sound comes out? Well, that's the intensity with which the experts wanted to tell younger people that spending years in a job you dislike is a recipe for regret and a tragic mistake. There was no issue about which the experts were more adamant and forceful. Over and over, they prefaced their comments with, "If there's one thing I want your readers to know, it's," and from a vantage point of looking back over their long experience, wasting around 2,000 hours of irretrievable lifetime each year is pure idiocy, end quote. And in our youth, we regularly and foolishly buy into the notion that the purpose of work is to earn money. We also buy into the notion, foolishly, that the goal of work is to make so much money that we can buy anything we want. Now, according to Pillemer and the 1,000 experts he interviewed in their elderly years, here you go, the experts have a real problem with this scenario. The view from the end of the lifespan is straightforward. Time well and enjoyably spent trumps money any time. They know what it means to make a living, and they are not suggesting that we all become starving artists. But they also know firsthand that most people who decide on a profession because of the material rewards at some point look back and gasp, "What have I done?" In their view, we all need a salary to live on, but the experts concur that it's vastly preferable to take home less in your paycheck and enjoy what you're doing rather than live for the weekends and your 3 weeks, if you get that much, vacation a year. If doing what you love requires living with less for the experts, that's a no-brainer, end quote. Now, this is a Christian radio show. This entire idea behind Career Callings is finding what God's purpose is for your life. So I asked this question. Do we think Pillemer's research matches up with biblical teaching? Now, although the 30 Lessons for Living was not written from a biblical point of view, as I've already mentioned, the answer is absolutely. The Bible is clear that God designs people with certain packages of skills, abilities, and personalities that are maximized for accomplishing certain types of work. And here are some of the verses from the Bible that prove it. Psalm 139:13 says this, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Jeremiah 1:5 reads this way, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the." Exodus chapter 31, 1 through 6 is one of my favorite passages on this concept because a lot of people don't see it when they read the Bible, and yet it is so powerful in proving this point. So it's 6 verses here, so stay with me for just a second. Here it goes. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." In this passage, God is telling Moses, I made these guys fantastic carpenters. I made them fantastic workmen so they could build my tabernacle. And that's what was going on here in this passage. God had just given Moses the instructions on how to build the tabernacle, and he had specifically made people with the skills, the abilities, the passions, and the wisdom to build that work. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this as well, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches." The purpose of work is to glorify God, no doubt about it. It's also to serve others. It's also to provide an enjoyable pastime for ourselves. A lot of people don't realize the Bible says that. And I'm going to give you some verses real quick to prove that. There's the first one, to glorify God. Many people are familiar with this Bible passage. 1 Corinthians 10:31 reads this, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. With regard to serving others, if you look at Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, it reads this way, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, if we're going to spend the vast majority of our waking hours working, and that's where we spend most of our waking hours, that is, you know, working, doesn't it follow that we're supposed to be serving others when we work? Of course it does. And loving our neighbors ourselves incorporates the idea of serving others as we would want to be served. And we're serving others in every type of work there is out there. We're doing some sort of service for others and expect to get paid in return for doing so. That's just what work's all about. The third one here, enjoying the pastime. A lot of people don't realize the Bible says this. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says this, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." Enjoying the work you do is part of the portion God gives you on this earth. A lot of people don't realize that. If we engage in the types of work for which we are designed, we will find much more fulfillment than we ever could find simply chasing money. Now, even when we engage in the work God intended us to do, there will be days of struggle, there will be days of persecution, there will be days of difficulty. But despite all this, we'll find joy in the knowledge that we've redeemed the time God has given us by spending it in the way He intended for us to spend it. We'll also find joy by avoiding its counterpart, God-induced misery. As Jonah, Jeremiah, and Paul showed us, misery comes with trying to avoid the work God has assigned us to do. We all know the story of Jonah. I mean, how he ran away from God when God told him to preach repentance, a repentance message to Nineveh. He ran the other way. He ran the opposite direction, trying to avoid God's work. And lo and behold, he suffered miserably when he tried to do that. Jeremiah the prophet got so sick of being ridiculed and persecuted by the Israelites of his day that he tried to stop preaching God's word. But this is what he said about that in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Paul communicated a similar sentiment in 1 Corinthians 9:16, and he said this, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The point is this, if you've got work to do, if God has given you a purpose and you don't fulfill it, you're going to be miserable. You're just going to be miserable. That is why, by the way, so many people become embedded in careers that they just don't like. They're trapped in a world of chasing money rather than chasing purpose. Now, don't misunderstand me. Just like the 1,000 elders that Pillemer interviewed, I'm not suggesting that everybody become starving artists. What I am saying is that what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:23, that in all labor there is profit. The Bible says that in all labor there is profit. So why not find the kind of labor that God designed you to do and profit from that rather than chasing some job that the world says is the best new way to make money, but that best new way to make money is not in line with the way God designed you. Now, how can we discover the types of work for which we're designed to do? Now, most people try trial and error. Matter of fact, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has reported recently that the average worker today stays at each job for about 4.5 years. And I've heard the statistics even shorter amount of time for millennials, the youngest generation right now, maybe a little more like 2 years or so. Now, in my opinion, that's a hard way to find your calling, Instead, take time to assess yourself. Take a hard look at your personality, your interests, your skills, your abilities, and values to determine what pattern of work God designed you to do. Also consider utilizing a professional career assessment tool like the Career Direct Assessment developed by the late Larry Burkett, who founded Christian Financial Concepts, now known as Crown Ministries, to scientifically discover your pattern. And you can learn more about that assessment program at my website, careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover. Now, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about this process of discovering, finding, preparing for, and pursuing the work God has prepared for you to do. So we look forward to seeing you on the other side. God bless you.
Wow, everybody's listening to Laura Ingraham these days.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
You like your health care plan, you keep your health care plan.
What difference at this point does it make?
Well, almost everybody.
Listen to Laura Ingraham every Monday through Friday, 12 to 3, right here on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
When BNC Cleaners opened in 1959, they promised their customers quality and convenience with a friendly and knowledgeable staff without taking them to the cleaners on price. And today, BNC Cleaners is still satisfying customers, carrying through with that promise. They're in Greenville on Wadehampton Boulevard at Church Street and at Hillcrest Cleaners in Simpsonville behind the Coach House restaurant. It's time to switch to B&C Cleaners.
You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break. This is Career Callings, and I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. We're at Career Callings. Our purpose is to help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you can join us again via the radio airwaves, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or email at Robbie, spelled R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. That's Robbie at careercallings.net. In our first segment today, we discuss the idea of work from a mindset of purpose. The purpose of work is not to make a lot of money. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The Bible doesn't say anything about making money being wrong, just the love of money. So making a lot of money is fine, but that's not what the purpose of work is. The purpose of work is to serve others in accordance with the way God designed you to serve others. And if you're not doing what you were designed to do, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, just like that last quote said there in the mashup, you suffer from that feeling of sadness mentioned in that last quote of the audio clips we just played. You can suffer that sadness even in the midst of taking or making tons of money. Over at careercallings.net, I have a compilation of several career-related articles in what I call Career Callings Magazine. And in several of those articles, the authors talked about how they were making money hand over fist but not feeling fulfilled in their lives. So they quit their high-powered, high-paying jobs, sought for their life's purpose, and their articles described their triumphs and challenges as they pursued their life's purpose. You can also feel that feeling of sadness because, due to you being mismatched in your career, you can do your job ineffectively, which can result in poor financial earnings. I mean, if we don't do a good job at work, we're not going to earn a lot of money at work. And in the first segment, I mentioned briefly towards the end, a career direct assessment, a professional assessment, career assessment created by the late Larry Burkett, who founded Christian Financial Concepts, which later became Crown Ministries. The reason why Larry wanted to develop that assessment in the first place is because when he was counseling Christians on their finances, which was his main focus with his ministry, he found a recurring pattern that a lot of the folks he was working with were struggling financially because they were mismatched in their careers. They were very ineffective at their work, and they were ineffective because they were engaged in work that was contrary to their God-given design. In our capitalistic society, our earnings are really tied to how much benefit we bring to other people. So if you're doing work for which you're not designed, you won't do it effectively, you won't bring much benefit to folks, and you won't earn much money. It's just the way it works. The more benefit you bring to others, though, the more you can earn, and that's what the late Zig Ziglar was very famous for saying. He put it this way, and this was also in one of those audio clips you just heard. You can get everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. That's bringing benefit to others. That's generating value for others. So the question then is this: how in the world do we go about bringing maximum value to other people by being fully in sync with the way God designed us to bring maximum value to other people? Well, the steps in that process are as follows. First of all, you have to discover your design. Discover how God designed you to bring maximum value to other people. Number two, you got to research jobs, careers, businesses. Maybe you're more entrepreneurial in mindset. Maybe a job or a career is not for you. Maybe a business is. You need to research what kinds of work are in sync with your design. Next, you have to prepare yourself to engage in that kind of work, whether that's getting a certain type of education or training. Then you have to go about the process of pursuing that work, starting that business, finding that job, applying for that career. And then lastly, have courage. And we'll speak to that one at the last tail end here of this segment, having courage throughout that process and what that means. Let's just briefly talk about discovering your design first. The first step in understanding God's vocational calling for your life is to first of all understand what kinds of work He designed you to excel in. Now, God's design for you, God's design for me, consists of four basic things. Number one, personality. How were you naturally designed to respond to circumstances and to people? Number two, your vocational interests. What are you interested naturally in doing, with your life? Skills and abilities. What do you naturally do well? And then values. What do you value in your work and life? The perfect job, the perfect career, the perfect calling, whatever you want to call it, is one that syncs with all four areas: your personality, your interest, your abilities and skills, and your values. Any job that lacks a perfect sync will be less than fulfilling, and even though we might like it for a time, there will be that sadness that arises. Every now and then, as we wonder, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And that question will pop up from time to time if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Discovering your design requires a process of self-evaluation, coupled with total reliance on God to guide you in your self-evaluation. The final authority on what you should be doing with your life isn't you. And that's a big thing I had to personally overcome. The final arbiter of what I'm supposed to be doing is not me setting my goals, not me finding my path. It isn't me. It's God, the God who created you, the God who created me. As we said in the first segment, He has a design for us. And our job in the self-discovery process is to find out what His design for us is and pursue it. So we had to access God's wisdom to be able to do that. And as James 1:5 tells us, we can access that wisdom of God by praying to God for it. James 1:5 does say, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Philippians 2:13, Paul says in that verse, and I'm going to read this verse, by the way, from my favorite study tool, the Amplified Bible. It's a fantastic study tool. If you've not ever read that, I suggest you get a copy of that and try that. It reads, it recites Philippians 2:13 this way: "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." So if you're going to do God's work, you can't do it in your own power, just like we can't live any aspect of the Christian life in our own power. We have to access God's wisdom and God's power. How do you do that? You pray. You ask. You ask a lot. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And if you read that in the Amplified Bible and get a little idea behind those words, asking, it says ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Find, knock and keep on knocking. You don't stop. You keep asking until you get the answer. Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment is a wonderful tool for helping the Christian begin this journey of self-discovery. I kind of stumbled upon it back in 2008. I was really, at that time, struggling with this idea of purpose. And during the time that I was struggling with that, I kind of stumbled upon the Career Direct Assessment, took it for myself, taken it once since then, so twice total, and had my eyes opened a lot as to what my personality, interests, skills, and abilities and values were, and have really incorporated the wisdom from that test, which is based on biblical wisdom, and applied it to my life. Research is the second step. Yeah, we can discover what our pattern of work is, what our design is, but then they got to take the next step. What kinds of work out there will fit my design? So that's step number two. And after you gain wisdom regarding what kinds of work you're suited for, then you have to go about finding those jobs. And we'll talk about how to do that in future shows. Preparation is step number three. After researching which career fields and jobs fit your God-given design, the next step is preparing yourself for the work God has called you to do. Preparation includes things like determining what education and or training is needed to qualify for the jobs in your career field that you feel led to, researching from which school to obtain that education and or training, deciding how to fund your education and training. That's all incorporated in the preparation step. Competing. After preparing yourself for the work God has called you to do, you must compete for jobs that align with your design. Competing for jobs that match your God-given design includes things like approaching employers who have available jobs that match your vocational design, preparing winning resumes and cover letters that attract their attention, getting ready for an interview, which includes preparing great answers to an interview's questions, and a lot of people don't realize this, and preparing your own questions to ask the interviewer. Even if the employer wants you after the interview, you may not want them. The only way you can find that out is if you ask them some really smart, intelligent questions about what their workplace is like. And then lastly, having courage. Throughout the process of pursuing the work God has called you to do, you got to have courage. You just have to have courage. It doesn't matter if you're a young person seeking your first career or a seasoned worker in one of life's many transition times, your pursuit of God's calling can be hindered by any number of the following emotions: fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, stress, denial, shock. Shock, yeah, that happens. Irritation, anger, depression, maybe even greed. And we'll talk about greed in just a second. But finding a career that is in sync with your vocational design is usually a very time-consuming process that requires a lot of faith and a lot of patience. And I believe personally that pursuing your calling is often hard because there is spiritual warfare all around us. I mean, just think about it for a second. If you discover your calling and do the work that God has called you to do, and you do it God's way, what are you going to do? You're going to do a fantastic job of glorifying Him. And by doing that, you'll draw the unsaved to the Savior. The devil doesn't want you to do that. The devil doesn't want you to succeed in bringing glory to God and drawing people to God. So he's going to give you that fear, that doubt, that worry, that anxiety, that greedy tendency. Let me go chase the money. So to combat the enemy, we have to understand that even though our work is something we do here on earth, it is really a spiritual calling as well. And we need the courage and power from God to overcome the devil's obstacles in actually going after the work we were designed to do. I heard a story one time about how we can impact people. A businessman who had been chased by a pastor for some time with the gospel, the businessman was never responsive. Several businessmen went to his house one time and witnessed to him, and on that day he got saved. And he responded to those businessmen who had witnessed to him for Christ, "The reason I listen to you is because the pastor gets paid to give the gospel every day. But you guys are out there doing what I do every day. You're out there trying to make a living by building a business. And if the gospel was real to you, that made it real to me. And that's why I listened this time." Your pastor, your youth pastor, your whatever pastor can't reach everybody in the world. And they're probably never going to meet or talk to people that you meet and talk to. So don't tell me that your workplace is not your mission field, because it is. And the best way you can serve God is in the mission field for which He created you to be in. Thanks for joining us for today's show. If you'd like to get a copy of this show, feel free to visit careercallings.net/radio, careercallings.net/radio for a free podcast of this program. I've got a parting question for you. How did God design you to bring value to the world? If you don't know the answer, it's time to start looking.